presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation. It's a holiday edition of Cougar Nation right here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper coming to you live from Broadcast House here in downtown Salt Lake City, Utah. Joining me as always, my co-host, Matt Biamonte. Matt, we have so much to get to on this show as the Cougars suffered a tough setback, 93-83 against Oklahoma State, but life continues in the Big 12 as a top 25 showdown awaits tomorrow night.
That was a shocking loss, Mitch. I told my wife that morning, I'm like, BYU's playing the worst team in the Big 12, and they have five players fighting the flu. This won't even be worth paying attention to. It's going to be a blowout. That was a really disappointing loss that we'll be breaking down in depth here in Cougar Nation.
801-575-8255. You know the drill, Cougar Nation. We're always taking your phone calls. Tonight's question, what do you think will be BYU's record in the final six games of the season on the heels of that Oklahoma State loss? 801-575-8255. You can also share a text at that same number. You can also get at us on X at KSL Sports, at Biamonte Matt, at Mitch_Harper. But the phone line's open, 801-575-8255. And right now, we'll get to our takeaways from that Oklahoma State loss.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
All right, Mitch, let's get to our takeaways from BYU's 10-point loss on the road in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. Takeaway number one, Mitch. And look, there were a lot of takeaways from this game, but one thing that stood out to me is BYU's defense, Mitch, is not playing great right now. To give up that many points to Oklahoma State, who they're not a good offensive team. They're really not. And for them to put up 93 points, and then in the win before, Mitch, BYU barely hang on against a UCF team that's also not a good offensive team, and that team put up a lot of points as well against BYU. So the defense right now is not playing well enough for this team to win in this conference, and that's not a good sign going forward.
93 points to Oklahoma State, who was the worst offense in the Big 12 going into Saturday. UCF scored 88 on BYU, who was the second worst offense. So yeah, it was not a good week on the defensive end for BYU, and I think the problem too was that it was so many open shots. It was not contested for Oklahoma State shooting from three, and they were outstanding. It was a, you know, freshman-laden crew for Oklahoma State, and this was always viewed as a reset year for the Pokes, who lost a lot to the transfer portal. So Mike Boynton, their head coach, basically said it's a reset year, going to be a lot of young guys, and we're going to build for the future, and hopefully this core stays intact. He just didn't think that core, that young core, was going to have its career day against a BYU team that before last week was in the top 25 in so many defensive metrics. It was a disaster of a performance, and I think it's one of the reasons why there's a lot of questions going forward about BYU and what they become the rest of the way, because that was a complete 180 from the BYU team that we have seen up until last week. I mean, BYU has been a tough defensive team the entire year. The headlines have always been catered to the offense and the three-point shooting, but the work BYU and Cahill Fennell, the basically the defensive coordinator on the staff, have done with this defense has been impressive, and it just changed in a hurry. And it's so surprising, Matt, because it just didn't feel like BYU looked at all like the team they've been this year. It looked more like the team that we saw last year that had so many shortcomings, so much uncertainty about who they were as a team.
And they've been so good, Mitch, at defending the three this year. They've been top 25 in that category for much of the year. Oklahoma State goes 11 for 22, and their freshman guard goes 8 of 8 from the field, 4 of 4 from 3. I'm talking Jamron Keller. It's inexcusable to have a freshman pop off a career high like that. And here's what Coach Pope had to say about Keller's performance on the loss against Oklahoma State?
Well, he shot a great. I mean, he's 8 for 8. He's, you know, 1 for 15 since December from the 3-point line, and you know, that's a credit to him. Actually, that's what you do when you have an opportunity. You go seize it. It's a real credit to him. So he should be super proud, and I'm happy for him. You know, that's how you respond as an athlete, and he certainly did that really well tonight.
Yeah, not too happy, Mark. Not too happy for Keller's performance. Yeah, he was outstanding. And again, you brought it up in the opening, you know, commentary. Oklahoma State was dealing with the flu. I thought there is no way this team that's battling the flu, because we saw BYU deal with the flu. It was a tired team at Oklahoma, and BYU just didn't have their legs underneath them, and they suffered a 16-point defeat. I thought that's going to be the case for Oklahoma State. BYU's going to squeak a victory out. They're going to find a way to get a win and come home with a, you know, winning streak going into a showdown against Baylor. Wasn't the case at all. Keller had a career night. Brandon Garrison, who was a 5-star recruit, McDonald's All-American, he's going to be a good one for Oklahoma State, a 6'11 big. He had a career-high 21 points. Everything was working for Oklahoma State. And, you know, takeaway number two, Matt, this team, BYU, they're just not good on the road this year. And they weren't a good road team last year. It begs the question, is their best road win at this point of the season in mid-February? Is it the win at UCF in January? Because they are struggling to win on the road.
It has to be that one, because that West Virginia win, I mean, that was a nice win at the time because they needed to get a road win, but I think UCF is better than West Virginia personally. Well,
yes.
What we saw from UCF in the Marriott Center a week ago, that to me feels like a team that could get somebody in the Big 12 tournament. I don't feel that way about West Virginia at all, and it's kind of alarming, Mitch, that this team cannot win on the road. You just can't be a great team if you can't win on the road. And now, the Big 12, to BYU's defense on the road, nobody's having great success on the road, right? Like, it's very hard to win in the Big 12. There's not one team, not Houston, not Iowa State, not Kansas, that's just killing people on the road. Everyone is losing on the road, but BYU is struggling to be competitive on the road. This is two losses in a row on the road where they didn't even have a chance at the end of the game. That you go back to that Texas Tech game, that was really the last time in my eyes, Mitch, where it felt like, okay, this could go either way, and they didn't make the plays. But Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, they did not have chances to win that at the end because the game was over with a couple of minutes to go. That, to me, is not a good trend.
It's not, and it makes you wonder if long-term, you know, big picture, if Mark Pope has to reevaluate non-conference scheduling a little bit, maybe give a more challenging, not you don't want to load up because you're in the Big 12, but maybe a challenging quad one road game in non-conference.
Well, they did that right with Utah.
They did, and that's the thing, is that
maybe two or three road games.
But then you go, well, what's the point? Then you're going to get into the Big 12 play. I mean, next year they'll have at Wyoming as a road game. It's just tough because this league is a gauntlet. And I got to remind myself, too, though, that everyone, to your point, they always suffer losses. Kansas even lost at West Virginia. So right, losing to a last-place team is not the death knell for BYU hoops. It's not sound the alarm. But it does feel like BYU has been figured out a little bit, and that ties into takeaway number three. Three-point shooting not as effective in Big 12 play. Matt, in five of the last six Big 12 games for BYU, the Cougars have made less than 10 threes. I feel like they have to hit at least 10 threes to win some ball games, especially on the road and against, you know, if you're at home tomorrow, and we'll be talking about BYU-Baylor coming up a little bit later, you got to hit at least 10 threes, in my opinion, for this BYU team to come away victorious, especially, too, when March rolls around and you get in that bracket. They got to find their rhythm again shooting that three ball.
I'd say 10 might not even be enough. I'm thinking more on the lines of 12, where that was their average for a lot of this season. This last two-game stretch, 16 of 58, 28%. So that's an average of 8 per game. That, and if you just add 2 to that, two more threes against Oklahoma State's not enough. They don't win that game. I feel like 11, 12, 13, and they need to shoot it at a better clip, too. That's the other concerning part. There was a point in the Oklahoma State game, Mitch, where they were 2 of 19. They were like 10% from the three-point line. You just can't have that. Even if you do get to 8 or 9, if you're only making sub 30% of your threes, that is deflating to have that many misses. Because BYU took 19 more field goal attempts than Oklahoma State. 19 more, and they took 13 more threes, and yet they had less made threes than Oklahoma State, and they had the same number of made field goals. So they need to make more threes, to your point, Mitch, but they need to shoot the ball better, period. Like, you can't be outshot by 16%. I know, credit to Oklahoma State, offensively they played well, they made shots, kudos to them. That's a part of it, for sure. But you cannot be played outplayed like that on the road and get a win. Like, just the shooting is not good. You got bad defense, and then you got bad shooting. That's how you end up losing to one of the worst teams in the conference.
BYU falls to 6-6 in Big 12 play. This was Mark Pope after the loss to Oklahoma State.
Huge kudos to Oklahoma State. I thought they played great tonight. We really didn't have answers. They were terrific sharing the ball. They were terrific shooting the ball. Unbelievable. Jan McKellar stepped in the starting lineup and took incredible advantage of that opportunity. And so a ton of credit to them. Just proud of our guys. We kind of fought. We just didn't have answers for this team tonight.
BYU now 18-7 overall on the season. And six games left in Big 12 play. We'll take our first timeout. We'll get to that question coming up next. What will BYU's record be in those final six? And we'll all take your phone calls. Linda, we see you're on standby. We'll get to your calls, 801-575-8255. It's Cougar Nation right here on KSL News Radio.
BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio. BYU basketball back in action tomorrow against the number 11 Baylor Bears at the Marriott Center. Tip-off tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Pre-game begins at 6 right here on KSL News Radio and the KSL News Radio app. Here on this show, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, we're taking your phone calls, Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. Let's get out to the phone line. Welcome in Linda. Linda, what's on your mind this week?
Oh, I was wondering, I'm blind, and on Saturday when I was listening to the game, I noticed that when Noah was trying to shoot some foul shots and he made them, but I could hear a fan calling his name. They kept saying, Noah, Noah. And I can't tell if they were trying to distract him. I couldn't tell if they were trying to distract him or if they were just doing it. But did you guys notice that Greg didn't say anything about it? So I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I would assume that it was probably just taunting, but I honestly am not sure on that, to be honest with you, Linda. That's a good ear there. But, you know, Noah is someone who finished with 7 points, 2 of 2 from the foul line. So he did make those free throws, 5 rebounds. But, you know, he's someone that's got to play at a higher level, I think. And, you know, hopefully that he can, because it feels like he's kind of a barometer for this BYU team when he's on. It's hard for BYU to be defeated. What would you say, Linda?
I would say that too, I think that he, when he's, you know, when they're having a good night and everything, he does a really good job, and he even does, at least he scored some points, but we needed him to score more.
We did, and appreciate the call as always, Linda. We'll talk to you next week. 801-575-8255. Matt, your thoughts on Noah Waterman and how he's played?
It's been a mostly up year for Noah Waterman. There have been a couple down games, and this was one of them. And the thing about Noah is when you start him with Ali Khalifa, Mitch, one of those two guys needs to score. And Ali is capable of scoring. We've seen him put up big scoring efforts, but that's not what he wants to do. He wants to run the offense. He wants to get others involved. And I think BYU is best when that's happening. But it's harder for him to get other people involved, and guys aren't hitting shots. And Noah is one of those guys that he's got to hit shots. 1 of 4 from three. He only takes 5 field goal attempts. He's got to make his mark on the game offensively by getting to the rim, getting to the foul line, and making some threes. He just didn't seem as aggressive in that game, and that's not great for this BYU team. They need Noah to score and to be an integral part of the offense.
I still want to see Foose and Ali Khalifa on the floor together, and I feel like maybe it could be a perfect time against maybe a Baylor or someone in these final six games, Matt, to throw a new wrinkle out there and say a new look. Because I will say that Oklahoma State was a tough matchup for BYU. They had guards that went downhill, athletic. They were a ton of speed in that backcourt for Oklahoma State, and they had a lot of size and athleticism. Just it might just be a tough matchup for this team. So I'd be curious to see, you know, in that second matchup down the road against Oklahoma State in the regular season finale, maybe you bring out Khalifa and Foose. Let's get to our question, though, Matt, of the day. BYU's got six games left. After that debacle in Stillwater, losing 93-83, what do you think will be BYU's record to close out the regular season?
It certainly changed my outlook on the rest of the season, because you look at these next six games starting tomorrow night with Baylor, number 11 Baylor, the return of Caleb Loner to the Marriott Center. That's a tough game. I like BYU's chances at home. They're a much better team at home, but still, that's difficult. Can you go on the road to Kansas State? I know BYU just beat them, but this is not a good road team as we've laid out, so that's tricky. Then you got Kansas, and look, Kansas is beatable, but again, it's a road game, and this team hasn't proven to me that they're up to the challenge on the road yet, so you can't give them the benefit of the doubt. Then you come back on March 2nd against TCU at home. That's a big game. Back on the road to Iowa State, a team that BYU beat handily, but Iowa State is playing much better basketball now than they were at the beginning of conference play. And then you finish out at home against Oklahoma State. That is a tough six-game stretch with very difficult road games and tough games at home. I mean, the easiest – you look at the six games, Mitch, the easiest game at home is Oklahoma State. You just lost to Oklahoma State. So considering the way this team has played in recent games, I don't see them going better than 2-4 during that stretch.
I'm a little bit more optimistic. I'm saying 3-3, maybe 4-2.
What are the three wins?
I think the three wins.
4-2.
I think the three wins are Kansas State, TCU, and Oklahoma State. I think BYU will protect home court against TCU and Oklahoma State. I don't expect Oklahoma State to have the career day as they did on Saturday in Provo. I will say, too, Iowa State's a game. BYU matches up well against them because Iowa State's a team that just they'll take away everything in the paint from you. Okay, fine. Take away everything in the paint because BYU doesn't have much outside of Foose. They're going to knock down the three, and that's why BYU crushed Iowa State the manner in which they did back in January. But to your point, Iowa State playing some great basketball. Huge game in the Big 12 tonight as Iowa State's on the road at Houston. Very intrigued to see what happens there. And I will say, too, Matt, I think tomorrow night's matchup is a much better matchup against Baylor than what Oklahoma State was, because like BYU, Baylor doesn't play well defensively and they shoot a ton of threes. The tempo's up and down. I think BYU will have a much better showing tomorrow night. And I'm still optimistic because this league is a gauntlet, Matt. And we point to it every week, but when teams like Kansas lose to West Virginia, anyone can be had on any given day. And Oklahoma State rose up. Now I know the defensive performance was concerning, because that to me will carry for games to come, and it's worrisome, this trend that's suddenly happened with this team. But I feel like BYU will bounce back, and I feel like they'll find a way to, you know, eke out three wins, which would put them at 9 wins in league play, a 9-9 record in the Big 12. You're going to the NCAA tournament, and if you can get a win in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament, you're going to be, you know, playing for seeding improvement. So I'm still optimistic about BYU's chances to get better. But, you know, I can understand your reasoning, too, because what happened Saturday was a real head-scratcher.
And two things happened in the Saturday game that have me concerned for the six-game stretch. First thing is, and credit to Oklahoma State for doing this, they put pressure on Dallin Hall and the ball handlers from the get-go, and they were never comfortable. And BYU this season has yet to find sustained success when they are pressured the full length of the court. And that is a concern of mine, that other teams will watch those games and say, there's two ways we can disrupt this offense. Number one, guard the ball handlers, Hall, whether it's Robinson, Stewart, whoever, full court. And then the second thing, I don't know if you noticed this in the UCF game, but Oklahoma State did this as well, and it has disrupted Ali Khalifa of late. Significant pressure on Khalifa, Foose, Atiki, anyone holding the ball at the top of the key at the three-point line is getting hounded. And that significantly hurts those players in this conference because the refs let the defenders get away with murder at times. Like, it's very physical, and that hurts the flow of the offense. And it's kind of taken Khalifa out of his game where he's looking for cutters. So I'm worried if they don't find an adjustment for those two things, you could be looking at 1-5, honestly. Like, yeah, they've got to find a way to relieve some of that pressure and get some easy buckets.
That's a great point, Matt, because, you know, we've talked a lot this season about the amazing assist-to-turnover ratio for Ali Khalifa. Well, we have to talk about it when it's struggling, too. This past week, he was 2-5, which 2 assists, 5 turnovers, not a good rate. And that speaks to the defensive pressure that teams are applying to him and this BYU offense when he touches the ball at the top of the key. Those cuts that were kind of this the signature traits of this BYU team have been non-existent the past few games. Not just last week either. Even in some of these wins, it hasn't been as it hasn't been executed at a high level to what we saw in non-conference. You're getting to that point of league play where everyone knows everything about you. They're figuring it all out. It then becomes maybe just simply personnel. You got to have the dudes that are better than these other teams. And BYU in the Big 12 does not have the personnel that's better than some of these teams. And that's kind of one of the tricky things about being in the league. I could make a case, Matt, where BYU could be better off in March when they get out of the league because teams aren't familiar with the style of play that BYU plays. But we'll continue to talk BYU basketball coming up on the other side, news, traffic, and weather, and then we'll hit on what's trending up and trending down for Cougar Hoops as they get ready to take on Baylor tomorrow night inside the Marriott Center. Again, this is Cougar Nation, and it's right here on KSL News Radio.
Just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Glad to have you on board, Cougar Nation, for another breakdown and look ahead. We'll get to that Baylor matchup, number 11, the Baylor Bears, momentarily here on Cougar Nation. And as always, we're taking your calls. The phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. Your thoughts on the loss against Oklahoma State, your thoughts on the matchup tomorrow against Baylor, and then also would love to hear your thoughts with 6 games left. What will BYU's record be to close out these 6 regular season games? And, hey, if you want to talk about something else, we're open to that too here on Cougar Nation, because this show is for you, BYU fans. We want to hear you guys and what you think about BYU hoops. But right now, Mitch, let's get to what's trending.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
We probably should just say what's trending down in this segment, if I had to guess. But you know what is trending up? A little bonus trending up that I did not plan on mentioning, but it caught me by surprise today. BYU hangs on in the AP Top 25 poll, Matt. They remain number 25 despite the setback to Oklahoma State.
2 weeks in a row that the pollsters have shocked me. I think it just does go to show that the Big 12 still has value. Even those people out there, media members, who think maybe the Big 12 is skewing things with soft non-conference play, there is still great value in this league. But I like you. I thought for sure they're out. They're out.
Oh, yeah.
To hang in at number 25, that was impressive.
And also, too, it's kind of refreshing as well for BYU, who has never had a margin for error when it comes to national rankings. You know, when they were a WCC team, Mountain West, WAC, you have a 10-point loss, you're out, or you're tumbling in a big way. Now, BYU still dropped 6 spots this week, but it was just simply having that Roman numerals on their jersey gives them the benefit of the doubt, no matter what their stats say, no matter how bad they were performing on the defensive end. Hey, you're still a top 25 team because you're in the toughest league in America, and that's the benefit of the doubt, because every night's a big game, and if you break through and get a few of these wins, those are some signature victories that very few teams in college basketball can say they have. So it's a nice benefit to being in this conference.
And hey, if you go 2-0 this week, which is a big if,
yeah, it's
big. I don't want to put the carriage in front of the horse, but you're back in the top 20.
What's trending up for you, Matt?
Trending up for me is Foose, the big guy, Foose Traore. Man, that dude continues to play well. He led BYU in scoring again. He's just been incredibly efficient. I didn't expect him to return like this from the hamstring injury and be this impactful. And what I also love about Foose, too, is he's a complete team guy. Whether he's starting, whether he's off the bench, He embraces his role. He's a low post scorer. I just think Fuchs has really impressed. If they can figure out the three-point shooting, if they can tweak the defense, then they'll be in a really good spot because they need Fuchs to do what he's doing. They need the low post scoring. The problem is when his low post scoring has trended upwards, their three-point shooting has trended downwards. So it's been like kind of a net negative between the two. They can get back to shooting the three ball well like they did for most of the year, and Fuchs can continue to do what he's doing, then this team will be dangerous come March.
How refreshing is it, too, with Fuchs that he's a guy that's not fazed by portal? He loves being at BYU. Like, he loves the academic rigors of BYU. He's always in study hall as Mark Pope kids, but it's kind of true. He's always working. I just have a ton of respect for Fusini Traore and how he's kind of an old school throwback where he truly feels like a guy that's enjoying the college experience, and that's what he's there to do. And yes, he wants to play at a high level in basketball and he wants to get to the highest stages he possibly can, but he's been a pleasant surprise to see how he's roared back from that hamstring injury. For me, what's trending up is BYU's resilience. I feel like this is a team, this might be big picture encompassing the whole year. They always bounce back, Matt, when they are down and out. Think back to the Cincinnati game to open up Big 12 play. I thought, uh-oh, they just got exposed. The Big 12 is going to get real ugly for BYU. They fought back and had a great showing, I thought, against Baylor until the last 5 minutes. And you could argue the whistle didn't go their way that night and water bottles were smashed in the process. But BYU always responds. And I think it's one of the reasons why tomorrow night they're a three-point favorite against Baylor. And I just get the sense that they will respond in a big way. When people are down and out on this BYU team, they fight back. This is a mature team. And, like, I know that's cliche to say with BYU sports, but they truly are. They've been around the block together for a minute now. They're not kind of pointing fingers. This is not a divided locker room. They're going to come together. I think they're going to respond. And I think they'll have a solid showing this week in both the games. How they play out and if they win or not, I don't know yet. But I feel like they will bounce back and play a lot better than what they showed last Saturday against Oklahoma State.
Trending down for me, Mitch. Ali Khalifa, we talked about him a little bit earlier. He has not scored in double figures in four games, and that's not the end-all, be-all for Ali Khalifa. You don't need his scoring, per se, to be a good basketball team. But he's only assisted more than five assists in two of his last seven games. It just feels like the Big 12 defenses have found a way to slow him down, and that's problematic because Coach Pope referenced him as being a de facto point guard. Like, the offense runs through this guy, and if he can't get the offense going, then that is a problem. And against Oklahoma State, he played 17 minutes. He had 4 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover. Those numbers aren't good for someone that this coaching staff believes is one of the catalysts for the offense. And he's got to find a way to get it going. And it's difficult. The defense is keying on him. Fuchs Traore's taking some minutes. And we know that he's been battling an injury all year long. Tip of the cap to him for fighting through. Like, Khalifa's a team dude. I think BYU fans have really embraced this guy, and I have a lot of respect for him, but they need him to play better if they're going to beat a team like Baylor tomorrow night. So Khalifa's got to reverse this trend that he's on right now.
And BYU's got to reverse trends on the defensive end, and that's my trending down. We talked about it in the opening segment, but the defensive ratings plummeted for BYU this past week. After the Kansas State game on February 10th, that was a game BYU wins 72-66, and you could credit, BYU's defensive effort in stretches where they tightened up and shut down K-State. And they were a top 25 defense nationally in the KenPom metrics, a lot of the predictive ratings in college basketball. BYU was top 25. Now, after two performances where you give up 88 to UCF, you give up 93 to Oklahoma State, BYU is now 52nd nationally in defensive efficiency metrics, which kind of bases off of, average points per 100% possessions. BYU plummeted. And the way that they played against Oklahoma State, there was no resistance given to Oklahoma State. They just did whatever they wanted at will. And you thought, Oklahoma State's the last place team? BYU is this, ratings darling? This seems like a role reversal today. So defense has got to get some answers in a hurry. Cahill Fennell's been the defensive coordinator this year. Curious to see what he draws up to counter teams like Baylor and Kansas State that have been known to be able to fill it up in games in any given moment. So tough week to get back on track defensively for BYU, but that is trending down right now for the Cougars, no doubt about it.
And you know what? The thing that is going to be interesting tomorrow against Baylor is BYU's got options. Like, maybe you need more Trey Stewart. He only played 3 minutes. We haven't seen a lot of Atiki Aliatiki. That dude can defend the rim. Maybe you need to shift a little minutes there from Khalifa to Atiki to get a little more defense on the floor. Because you just can't have two halves like Oklahoma State the rest of the year and win any games. 49-44. Like, we're accustomed to BYU having at least one good defensive half. That wasn't the case against Oklahoma State. So, yeah, that is a great point. And that's, to me, that is more concerning and it's more of a priority to fix than the three-point shooting. The three-point shooting, that's going to ebb and flow. That's just the way that it goes. You average out for the whole year, Mitch. I think this is a good three-point shooting team. Defensively, though, that has to be fixed because you're giving up 80, 90 points a game. You're asking your offense to be hitting on all cylinders to win some of these shootouts. That's not realistic game in and game out. So defensively, man, they got to figure that out, and they got to do it quick.
And can I just add, too, we need some advanced ratings and stats on the gimme metric because BYU continues to miss the gimmies, the bunnies, whatever you want to call them. It feels like BYU the last 2 weeks has had about four or five misses around the rim. And you got to finish the job, and Foose has been one of the biggest culprits of that. I mean, because he's operating in that area all the time, but you've got to finish when you get these opportunities at the basket because the gauntlet of the Big 12 is really showing itself in these last few games, and when you get an easy one, you've got to capitalize because when you miss, it just feels like it gets amplified, and the opponent is going to capitalize on that mistake. And that's what Oklahoma State did. They were going downhill with so much speed at BYU, and that guard line for the Pokes, just BYU had no answer for it. So you got to make those easy ones around the basket. It's been a real struggle the past couple weeks, and hopefully that gets fixed for BYU.
And I do love that point, Mitch, because I also feel like on the gimmies, the missed layups, Khalifa had a couple where it's like, does that get him going? Is he getting the swing of things? He makes a miss, a little – I don't want to be the body language doctor here, but there was one where they zoomed in on him and he did not look happy. And I just feel like it affects the offensive confidence a little bit. And then defensively, does it hurt your desire to compete? Because so much of the defensive end, Mitch, is just straight up desire and will. And if you're missing bunnies and you're missing threes and you're shooting 10%, can you give it 100% on the other end? Didn't feel that way against Oklahoma State. So, yeah, they gotta make some of these easy ones because it's going to affect the other end of the floor too.
801-575-8255. You can get on board with us on this holiday evening. Appreciate all of you tuning in however you're listening, whether it's on 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, on podcast as well. Search Cougar Nation on any podcast platform. Taking our final timeout, we'll preview the top 25 showdown inside the Marriott Center tomorrow night. BYU and Baylor coming up next right here on KSL News Radio.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show all on one app for KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, every single Monday night during the BYU basketball season from 6 to 7, we're taking your phone calls, weighing in on BYU hoops. We also host Cougar Sports Saturday, noon to 3, every Saturday here on your legacy home of the Cougars and Big 12 basketball and football, KSL News Radio. Tomorrow night, a big one, Matt. Top 25 showdown, number 25 BYU, host number 11 Baylor. It's not often that you get a top 25 showdown in the Marriott Center. So however it happens, when it happens, it's a big deal. And this another night in the Big 12, it's another big game for BYU.
Just another night in the Big 12, Mitch. I'll tell you what. This BYU team needs a signature win badly. And this could very well be it. Now, don't get me wrong. They've got some nice wins. Iowa State at home was really nice. San Diego State at the beginning of the year, that was nice too. But this would feel differently because of not only the ranking, but Baylor they just sound better than Iowa State. No, that's no offense to Iowa State. It's just Baylor has a longer track record. They just feel more significant in college basketball. So if they find a way to win this, that would be massive. It would look great on the resume. It's obviously a quad one game. Baylor's been playing good ball. Like, you look at their last couple games, they did have a close loss at Kansas. That was a narrow loss. They beat Iowa State, and that game was nuts. Iowa State, it's a buzzer beater after the clock, so Iowa State almost beats them on the road. But they got the nice win against Iowa State. They've beaten Texas Tech recently. They just manhandled Oklahoma and Baylor. So they're playing some good ball. It's a good team going to the Marriott Center, Mitch.
It is. And defending Big 12 Player of the Week and Big 12 Newcomer of the Week swept the awards this week is Jaden Nunn, a shooting guard for Baylor. Keep an eye on him, number two. You know, BYU fared well against Baylor in that meeting on January 9th. BYU lost 81-72 in the first ever Big 12 game inside Foster Pavilion. BYU had a 9-point game with about 17 minutes to go in that contest and playing well, but you know, BYU kind of went cold, and again, the whistles didn't go BYU's favor. I mean, Baylor was living at the foul line. Some of the technical foul on Mark Pope was ridiculous. The foul on Dallin Hall was insane. It should have been a jump ball. I mean, Big 12 officiating is taking a lot of hits.
Both of those looked soft compared to the double foul on Trevanell.
Oh, gosh, how did we miss that? I mean, that Brandon Garrison just steamrolls Trevanell on Saturday, and just a double personal foul. Like, wow, that's just unbelievable. Big 12 officiating has taken
sucks.
Its hits.
It sucks, Mitch.
These coaches are getting ejected left and right because they are off the rails about officiating. Scott Drew's been ejected this year, the first time that's ever happened in a Big 12 basketball game, to the point where Baylor's AD, Mac Rhodes, had an impromptu press conference and told the media this officiating just was not up to the standards of being in the best league in America. He got fined $25,000. He took a $25,000 pay cut because of those comments. So people are a little more leery to speak on the officiating, seeing that $25,000 fine imposed. So, but I think tomorrow night's matchup, BYU and Baylor, two teams that defensively are not the best, but offensively, two of the best offenses in the Big 12 and in college basketball this year.
And let's hope those Zebras don't get in the way of what should be a fun up-and-down game, because I've just been so fired up at the officiating. Don't get me wrong, Mitch. BYU did not lose that game because of the officials. Oklahoma State won that game straight up. But it's every single game. They're finding ways to impact the game. That win against UCF, 46 taken, it's ridiculous. Like, when Kelvin Sampson got ejected early in the year, that's when I knew he had a problem. Because when he came and spoke to us, the media, after Houston beat BYU, he was so complimentary of the Cougars and the atmosphere. And I don't know if you felt this way, and I felt this way frequently when listening to these opposing coaches and post-game pressers. These guys are really, really high-level coaches, and they have a lot of good things to say about BYU and this team. And if these dudes are getting tossed, then it's really bad, because these are high-quality individuals. And as you mentioned, multiple guys getting tossed. And I hope that does not become a storyline tomorrow. I just want the offense – let the offenses play. Let's not get in the way. We don't need double bonuses with 12 minutes left in the second half. Like, let these two high-octane offenses play. And if they do, I think BYU's got a decent chance to win this game if the three is falling. That's a tall order as of late. But it is a fun matchup. And these are the kind of nights too, Mitch, that we were dreaming of when the Big 12 came, because this isn't the one time someone's coming into town that's ranked. We've already had Houston. That was an electric atmosphere. Iowa State. Now we got, Texas was electric. Now we got Baylor coming in tomorrow. The Big 12 is a lot of fun. It's been frustrating at times, but maybe we do need to take a step back and just enjoy that night in and night out. You're playing meaningful basketball, and that's something that BYU has not had for a very long time, maybe ever, honestly. Like, there were a couple Mountain West years that were a lot of fun, but it wasn't night after night after night like we've had here in the Big 12.
And Mark Pope agrees with you, Matt.
This league is awesome. As a coach or as an athlete, you couldn't ask for any more. It's like living in – it's heaven, man. It's you like to compete, this is where you want to be, and if you don't get to be here, you feel sad because you want to go compete. And so it's a real blessing for us to be able to be in this league.
That it is, and the competition's going to be heated tomorrow night as Baylor rolls into town. They did not travel back to Waco from their long trip on Saturday at Morgantown, so they came right to Utah afterwards. So they've experienced two wins of the unique Big 12 scheduling, East Coast, now out west in the Wasatch Front here in Provo. Quick trivia question for you, Matt. Do you remember the last time Baylor rolled into Provo?
I do remember it well because I was a KSL intern, baby. I was working for Greg Wrubell. So this would have been the 2011-2012
yes.
season, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Baylor that was won. Matt Carlino's debut. He was almost a hero.
He did, and he came off the bench and had an amazing debut. And Perry Jones for Baylor, he had 28 points and led Baylor to a win. And I bring that up because Scott Drew, back at Big 12 Media Day in October, he just gave rave reviews. I wrote a piece on it back then in Kansas City about just the atmosphere at BYU, how it just stuck with him to the point where it was still, to this day, one of the best environments he's ever coached in. And that's a guy that's won a national title, been at Final Fours. You know, he's done it at the highest stages. And he said the Marriott Center is one of the top places he's ever been in. Even Jerome Tang, who a couple weeks ago was here in Provo, was on that Baylor staff in 2011, pointed that out in the postgame about the atmosphere at BYU being so good. And pointing to that Baylor game in 2011. I just love this series too, Matt. I feel like BYU and Baylor, they kind of have this bond in many ways. I call it the friendliest rivalry in the Big 12 because they seem to just really like each other. But the competition should be pretty heated tomorrow night. I'm curious to see if Langston Love, a backup guard/forward for Baylor, plays tomorrow. He's been dealing with an injury. He's a guy that comes off the bench and can kind of be a microwave, an energizer that just gets buckets for Baylor. BYU's got to be on, though, defensively, at least much better than they were last week against Oklahoma State and UCF. And hopefully BYU can hit at least 12 threes. If they can do that, Matt, I think they can bounce back and pull off the upset.
Agreed. And, hey, a quick plea to BYU Cougar Nation out there. Get to the game on time. Plan accordingly. Get off of work early. We need this place rocking tomorrow night.
That's going to do it for us tonight here on Cougar Nation. Talk to you next week here on your legacy home of the Cougars.